Mars. I patiently crept on all fours toward the door, instantly aware of how still and quiet the night was. Every creak in the floor seemed magnified, so I was sure they could hear me. My breath seemed to echo in the air. Even the pounding of my heart was a drum that their dogs could surely hear, if not the guards themselves. Despite all that, I soon reached the door and lifted it to test its weight. It was made of solid wood. Very good news, because it could withstand the weight of the dirt when we tried to stabilize the tunnel. But bad news for moving it. I would have to drag it to the stairs. I wasn't worried about my strength in moving the door. Day after day of hauling dirt had made me much stronger than I used to be. But a heavy door would make more noise along the floor and probably leave a noticeable trail of dirt behind, one I couldn't clear without getting out into the open. I tugged at the door, but it didn't budge. I couldn't figure out what the problem might be. It should have moved in my hands. Then, with a high-pitched whine, the watchtower light powered on and I froze. There was no reason to panic yet. The lights always swooped around in the night, much like the paths of birds of prey, patrolling for anything on the ground that could be devoured. The light washed across the death strip and then up in the air. It shone through the broken-out windows above me, stealing too much of my shadow, but also revealing the problem with the door. A broken beam from the roof had fallen on the door, pinning it to the ground. I had to remove that beam. The watchtower light swung in a pattern, two swoops over the ground to the south where I was, then once through the air as it moved to the right. Then two swoops to the ground on the north. While the light went north, the darkness returned. That was my chance to get the door. I used that moment now to dart forward, keeping my body low. By the time the light returned, I was closer to the broken beam, but safely back in the shadows. With the next round of darkness, I pushed at the beam, but only gave it one nudge before I had to withdraw again. When my next opportunity came, the beam wouldn't roll at first, and every shove caused a cracking sound that echoed through the quiet night. Determined to get it free, I pushed with every ounce of strength within me. Finally, it turned just enough to release the door. It took another several slow-motion minutes to get back into my original shadow. Then, 1 centimeter at a time, I began pulling the door again. I dragged it through the darkness and hid while the light swept past. How ironic that I had been so critical of East Berlin for feeling darker than the West. Now that very darkness was my only hope to complete this task. After I got the door into total shadow, Fritz was there to help me carry it the rest of the way down the stairs. Only then did I feel safe enough to breathe again. With his help, we were soon back on the second level. I wanted to return to the upper floor and brush over the drag marks, but Fritz insisted it wasn't worth the risk. I agreed without protesting, not because I thought he was right, but because the idea of returning there turned my insides to jelly. That was as close as I ever wanted to come to being in the lights of the Death Strip. Chapter 37. He only earns his freedom and his life who takes them every day by storm. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, German writer and statesman. Fritz and I had a surprise waiting for Mama when she returned the next morning. The door was already in place in the tunnel. It must have been a closet door once, we decided, because the narrow width was perfect for this space. And after we lifted it onto the dirt ceiling and added Fritz's mortared bricks to hold it up, we started pushing in other bricks to force the door upward. That part was incredibly hard, but Fritz was smart. He figured out how to raise the door little bits at a time with smaller wedges, then work the brick in to push the dirt upward. "Did the door do any good?" Mama asked. We didn't know, but the ground wouldn't sink any further, and Fritz said he would keep a better eye on the ceiling from then on. After her inspection was complete, Mama pulled out the food she had promised us. Several times during the night I had wondered what she might bring, but never imagined anything this wonderful. There were meat patties, honey and crackers, some fruit, and even a few candies. "Where did this come from?" I asked gleefully. Mama frowned. "Will you promise not to think too badly of me?" Fritz and I agreed, and then she said, "It was in Herr Krause's apartment. I figured he had lived there alone, and nobody had cleaned his place out yet. The food should go to somebody. Why not us? But still, this is stolen food, and that was wrong." To make her feel better, I told Mama about taking the pulley. She scolded me properly for that, not only for stealing, but for the risks I'd taken. I didn't mind. Knowing that her crime wasn't as bad as mine seemed to make her feel better, and that was good enough for me. While we were eating, Mama also pulled out a letter addressed to Fritz. He turned it over once in his hands, then frowned and tore it open. He had to hold up a flashlight to read it, and when he did, I saw the military stamp show through the paper.
"What is it?"
Mama asked. Fritz's eyes drifted from her over to me.
"They changed the date for me to report for the military," he muttered. "I'm expected to begin serving on Monday. That's only 2 days away."
I nearly exploded. "You had until the end of the month. You're not even 18 for another 2 weeks."
"I worried about this."
Mama's hands began shaking.
"Orders change sometimes."
I put my hands over hers to steady them, but instead it made mine shake too. We had so far to go and still no idea of how we'd get back to the surface in the West. "We'll never finish the tunnel by then. We were barely going to make it by next week." Fritz crumpled up the letter and threw it on the ground.
"Yes, we will."
He stood up and grabbed the shovel, then began tearing into the wall. Without a word, I picked up the bucket to continue working while Mama quickly packed up the food. If we weren't finished in 2 days, then nobody could have finished it, because we would dig harder than anyone ever had before. When Fritz got tired, Mama took over for him, and while the one worked, the other helped me haul dirt up to the basement. Meter by meter, our tunnel grew and expanded. It was no wider than it had to be, and the work wasn't as neat as Fritz and I had done in the beginning, but we were going forward. By early afternoon, Fritz and I were so tired that Mama insisted we sleep while she continued working. So we returned to the air raid shelter, and my eyes closed before my head even hit the ground. I wasn't sure how long she let us sleep, but it felt like hours. I only knew that when she called for us, we both sat up groggy and disoriented. Then Mama called again, and I raced into the tunnel with Fritz at my heels. Mama held up a hand for us to stop, then motioned for us to be silent. With urgency in her voice, she whispered, "Listen," and pointed to the end of the tunnel. I couldn't hear anything at first, but when I walked forward and pressed my ear against the dirt, a sort of sound did come through. Thumping. Digging. Something not far from us was hitting against rock. Someone else was tunneling. Panicked, the three of us retreated to the shelter to discuss the matter.
"There must be other East Germans trying to escape," Fritz said. "Somehow our tunnels have intersected. If we connect with them, we can join our efforts."
"If you're right, that's too risky," Mama said. "We don't know these other people, and we shouldn't tie our fate in with theirs. If they are found out, then we are found out."
"But we could move so much faster then," Fritz said. "Besides, they didn't sound that far away. They'll probably connect with us at some point anyway. We might as well try to get to them and see how we can help each other."
"I think the sounds came from ahead, toward us," Mama said. "Could it be Stasi, building a tunnel along the length of the death strip? That way anyone who tries to cross underground will have to run into them." That was possible, maybe even likely. And if she was right, then it meant we were only another meter or so away from walking directly into their hands. "There's a third option," I said. "Maybe the tunnel is coming from the west. What if it's Papa?" I hadn't believed it until the words emptied from my mouth, but once they did, I knew I was right. Papa would never have asked us to dig. Fritz and Mama both told me that, but maybe he wasn't asking me to dig. Maybe the dance was telling me that he was already digging. Mama didn't seem convinced, but Fritz nodded his head and said,
"He sent Goethe the picture of the building, but it wasn't about where our tunnel should start. He was telling her where his tunnel would end. He wanted us to be ready for the time when he broke through.
What if you're wrong? Mama asked. How can we know it isn't the Stasi?
We couldn't know. Not for sure. But we couldn't stop digging either. Maybe when we broke through to the other tunnel, there might be other East Berliners, or the Stasi. Or, as I was sure must be the case, we would find my father.
Chapter 38. Everything that is done in the world is done by hope. Martin Luther, German priest. Curfew was approaching, which brought on another fight with Mama.
Fritz and I wanted to keep working. With only 2 days left before he would be expected to report for military duty, our time crunch was worse than ever. If my father was on the other side, then we could connect with him tonight and be free.
And what if it's not him? Mama asked.
I didn't dare to think about that. If it wasn't him, then our efforts here were doomed. No, we were doomed.
We won't get much farther tonight, Mama said. We're all exhausted, and it's important for whoever is listening in our apartment to hear your voices. Besides, if there's bad news coming our way, I'd rather they find our tunnel while we're not here.
Mama was right about everything, especially that we were exhausted. Too tired, in fact, to put up any reasonable protest for staying. So we put down our tools and followed her home. In my bedroom that night, I was so excited about what might be in the other tunnel that I was sure I would never get to sleep. But within only seconds, sleep found me anyway. I awoke early and deliberately made plenty of noise so that everyone else could wake up too. We had a quick breakfast, chatting cheerfully the entire time about how excited we were for Fritz to report to military service the next day, and about our confidence that once the state saw how well he served, Mama would surely be restored to her former job. Lies. I was tired of always having to lie. As soon as we felt it was appropriate, we ventured back onto the street. In our anticipation to reach the tunnel, we started down the sidewalk too quickly and bumped straight into Frau Eberhardt. The dour woman clearly wasn't in a good mood this morning. She scowled when she saw us in work clothes and brushed herself off, even though I was sure we hadn't gotten any dirt on her.
"I excused their poor manners while you were out of town," Frau Eberhardt told my mother. "But I thought they'd have improved again when you returned, not worsened." "You bumped into them," my mother snapped. "You should be the one apologizing."
Frau Eberhardt straightened herself up and evaluated my mother's appearance.
"I thought you were a church-going lady, but it seems you have more important plans today."
Mama and I looked at each other. With so much else to think about, none of us had remembered today was a Sunday. Mama attempted to excuse it with a joke.
"Well, Frau Eberhardt, I suppose some days the Lord wants us in his house, and some days he wants us going about his work. Which are you choosing?"
Frau Eberhardt reacted by wrinkling her nose as if we smelled. Maybe we did.
"And the Lord's work is gardening? Did your daughter mention that she promised me some of the harvest from that garden? She seemed to think it might encourage me to keep quiet in case I saw anything suspicious."
Mama smiled at Fritz and me.
"Why don't you two go on ahead? We have to talk, mother to mother."
Fritz grabbed my arm and pulled me off with him. By the time I looked back, they were already engaged in what looked like a very tense conversation. Something had changed in Mama over the last few days. She looked tired and worried, just as we all did. But she seemed younger and stronger, too, as if digging the tunnel had reclaimed the spirit of who she used to be. "Frau Eberhardt was right," I said. I did sort of bribe her.
"Let Mother work it out," Fritz said. "Our job is to dig."
After we made it into the shelter, Fritz and I had the luxury of deciding what to do about the second tunnel without Mama getting a vote. We knew what she'd have wanted, and that once she made up her mind, the decision would be final. For Mama, any risk was too much risk. But Fritz thought Mama had made some good points last night.
"Other families have escaped through tunnels," he said. "If the Stasi have gone to such efforts to barricade the ground above us, Why not below as well?
I disagreed. Why didn't Officer Mueller warn us then?
Officer Mueller never said he was on our side.
Fritz was right about that. If anything, Mueller had promised just the opposite, that if we were discovered, he would be there for our arrest. I listened again with my ear pressed against the tunnel wall, but this time there were no sounds. Either the other tunnel had moved farther away from us, or else nobody was digging right now. I grabbed the shovel and began digging in that direction. Whatever is ahead of us, we can't quit now, I said. Maybe it's Chassis, but what I fear even more is missing Papa's tunnel. So Fritz relented and worked with me. We had to move carefully because of other pipes overhead, and there were large rocks in front of us, but at least we were digging again. Mama joined us soon after. When we asked what had taken so long, she said,
Frau Eberhardt believes you two are up to something. I tried to convince her otherwise, but she insisted I was in denial. Children today are more slippery than they used to be. A lazy mother can miss the signs.
Mama huffed.
She sits outside all day like a lump and then accuses me of laziness?
I shrugged. You're not lazy, but in all this mud, I can believe that I'm quite slippery. Mama laughed, then grew serious again when she said,
Our conversation moved to Herr Krause's death. She's upset about it, just like the rest of us. She admitted that she was the one who had turned him in, but also insists she had no idea what they would do to him. I told her to go inside and stop asking so many questions, or there would be more deaths.
Does she suspect about the tunnel?
Fritz asked.
I don't think so, but she didn't go inside either.
Shh, quiet down, I hissed. Shh. I paused from digging and pressed my ear against the dirt. The sounds in the other tunnel had begun, and they were closer than ever. It was impossible to know exactly, but I was sure whoever was on the other side must be within an arm's length of us. Then, very high up, a stick poked sideways through the dirt. It was no rounder than an earthworm, but there was lantern light on the other side, far more light than what we allowed ourselves here. None of us breathed. The stick went forward and wiggled as if the person on the other end was feeling for more dirt or some rock. Feeling nothing, it was withdrawn, and then the more focused beam of a flashlight came through. Still, we said nothing and didn't even move. We had been discovered, but by whom? Then, in a low voice I well remembered from my childhood, someone sang an even more familiar tune. They dig, and they rake, and they sing a song. Papa. Chapter 39. I was aware that it could all go horribly wrong. Günther Wetzel escaped East Germany with his family in a hot air balloon, 1979. Fritz immediately started to widen the hole, but after a quick greeting, Papa warned him to stop. Why? It took real effort to keep from kicking the dirt wall down entirely, and my tone showed it.
Sweet Goethe, how I've missed you.
Papa's voice wavered a bit, then became serious again as he said,
We're too shallow. We've been measuring this morning and we're certain that we've been slowly tunneling uphill. Last night we heard the dogs over us. They might even be able to detect us below. We heard barking, and maybe we're the reason why.
Then let's dig lower. The impatience I felt streamed through me like raw energy. The fact that we were just sitting here, so close and yet conversing through a tiny hole in the dirt, was impossibly frustrating. Mama stepped forward and put her hand on my shoulder.
Patience, Goethe. This must be done right.
There was silence, and then my father's voice broke as if he was crying.
Katerina? My dear wife, is that you?
I looked up at my mother and in the low light saw tears on her cheeks.
It's me. I'm here, she answered. Aldous. I tried to get back to you, my love, all this time.
Mama pressed her hand against the wall as if touching it brought her closer to my father. Suddenly, I felt shame for my anger toward her these past 4 years, when my father seemed to have held on to nothing but his love for her. Who was I to judge her when he had not? In apology, I wrapped an arm around her and nestled closer as she brought me against her side. Then another voice came through. Mama? I didn't recognize it, but only one other person would have said that word.
Dominic?
Mama pressed even closer against the dirt. She folded a little, and for the first time I began to understand how painful it must have been to be separated from one of her children. Tears filled my eyes, but with such a filthy hand I could only let them fall. Behind me, even Fritz sniffed with emotion.
You never should have dug this tunnel, Fritz,
Papa said.
The danger of it. Careful who you blame,
Fritz said.
It was Goethe who started this. Goethe?
He stopped and chuckled lightly.
I see that she is no less headstrong than the night I left. My wonderful, brave girl, I should have known.
Even from here, I heard his sigh. You suggested it, Papa, I said. I saw you.
I only wanted you to know we were coming,
he said,
so you could be ready.
Fritz gave me a look. That was exactly what he had told me. Then Papa continued.
But now we're this close. I'm glad you did. We'd have been another couple of weeks to get over to you. Let us keep digging,
Fritz said.
We could open this tunnel in the next few hours. Then we must dig deeper,
Papa said.
I don't like the way the dirt looks above us.
It's like clay beneath our feet, Fritz said.
It'll take a month to bridge the tunnel if we have to go lower.
But he started anyway. The tunnel wasn't wide enough here for Mama and I to help, and Fritz wasn't emptying enough of the dense, packed soil to require us to remove it. Papa said he had to go back to help carry out some dirt. We promised him that we would wait here. Hour after hour passed with very slow progress on our end. The dirt on Papa's side was collapsing and sealed up the hole he had made with the stick and even the little gap Fritz had made. Then Fritz suggested he and Mama should better fortify our end of the tunnel for when the entire gap was broken open.
We need more bricks,
Fritz said, eyeing the dirt above him.
If it starts to collapse when we join these tunnels, I want to be ready.
There are still some bricks left upstairs, I offered. Not many, but maybe one more pile on the main floor.
Be careful, Mama said. Send them down in the bucket when you're ready, and I'll unload them into the tunnel.
I hurried out of the shelter, up the ladder into the basement, and then up the stairs onto the main floor. The bricks were indeed there, as I had thought, but it occurred to me that in this daytime light, I could possibly see into the death strip and confirm that our propped-up door had repaired the dark patch on the ground. It was a terrible risk to be up there with no shadows to keep me in the safe zones, but I was also becoming used to risks, and this one had to be taken. I crept to the upper floor, aware of each step I took and of even the smallest movements I made. I went slowly and kept my body pressed to the wall as if I were part of it. The window in front of me was missing its glass, but if I stayed low, that would be the best place for a view. All it would take was for a watchtower guard to look at this building while my head was visible, and it would be over. Alarms would sound, dogs would be called, and shots would be fired. Nobody would be quicker to acknowledge the stupidity of me being up here on the very same day as we would surely break through to my father. But I thought about what Papa had said, that they had gone too shallow, and that worried me. I would look very quickly, no hesitations, no stares, just the quickest glance into the center of the death strip, so fast that if I happened to catch the corner of a guard's eye, when he looked again, I would be gone, and he would assume it was a trick of the light. The best news would be to see the dark spot was entirely gone. There wasn't much chance of that, but I hoped at least it was no worse. And then I would look further on, to Papa's side of the tunnel. After brushing away the sweat from my palms, I peeked through the window, but suddenly couldn't tear myself away.
I had heard the phrase frozen in fear, but never understood it before, not like I did in that moment. When I finally forced myself back against the wall, my heart was racing so much that I could barely breathe. Nobody had seen me, or at least no alarms were sounding, but our problem was just as awful. A line seemed to be caving in on Papa's side. It wasn't just one little sunken area like with ours. Papa's entire tunnel was going to collapse. "Stop!" I cried once I re-entered the tunnel. I flew past my mother in the shelter, ignored her question about what had taken me so long, and grabbed Fritz's arm. "Papa's tunnel is collapsing just like ours. I saw it. Just now, I went to the upper floor and saw it." Fritz's mouth opened, then shut. And then he used the handle of the shovel to push another hole through to Papa's side. Papa wasn't there, but Dominic was, and Fritz relayed our panicked message. Instantly, we heard Dom run off, calling for our father. When Papa returned to talk with us, Fritz told him the danger signs we had noticed earlier on our end.
"I see it here," Papa said. "There are fissures in the earth where it's begun to separate."
"How have I missed it?"
"Goethe said the problems run through most of the length of your tunnel. You have to prop it up now," Fritz cried. "Use anything you have, brick or wood or anything that will hold it up." "Get out of your end," Papa said. "If our tunnel collapses, yours will go down too."
"We can't," Fritz said.
"We have to finish tonight. If I don't report for military service tomorrow, they'll arrest me." "Do not report there," Papa said. "Do you hear me? If they get hold of you, we'll never get you out again. Come back early in the morning. If I haven't stabilized this tunnel by then, it'll be too late anyway. I want you all to make preparations to leave. Either you pass through this tunnel tomorrow, or you'll all have to leave the city and hide until we can figure out another way."
"Aldous," Mama cried.
"If it collapses and you're in there..." "Get out," Papa said. "Now that I'm looking, the failure is worse than I thought."
"We can help," Mama said. Papa's voice was firm, just the way I remembered it on the night he said goodbye 4 years ago.
"Please, Katerina, get my children out of that tunnel. I can't work if I have to worry about you too."
We had no choice. We ran from the tunnel without knowing whether we would ever see it again, whether we would ever see our father again, or ever again have a chance at freedom. Chapter 40. No one knows where the shoe pinches, but he who wears it. German proverb. As we walked home, Mama made us wipe our tears and told us to smile and properly greet everyone we passed. "People get caught when they look like people who should be caught," she said. "Smile."
"What about Papa?" I mumbled.
"You will see him tomorrow. Save a hug and kiss for him until then, because he will want it."
Mama spoke with confidence, but I didn't know whether that was because she believed it or because she wanted me to believe it. There was a time in my childhood when I accepted as fact everything my parents said, simply because it never occurred to me they could be wrong. But Papa had said he would return from his visit to the West, and he was wrong. Mama had said the wall wouldn't last, and we'd all be together again. That was wrong, too. So wrong that to make things right again, we had now put everything at stake, including our lives. I wished I could return to that time of my childhood, just long enough to believe my father would be okay simply because my mother had pronounced it so. But I had seen too much reality to ever go back. As it was, the best I could do was to pretend to believe her, so she would worry less about me. Mama assumed she had cheered me up and went on to say, "Until we're all together tomorrow, we are going to pack our clothes and wash ourselves and clean the apartment."
"Clean?" I asked. "Why, if we're only going to leave it?"
"When we're gone, Stasi will be everywhere in our home."
It was Mama's German pride speaking now.
"I won't have them saying the Low family are pigs. We are going to clean it."
Fritz and I didn't argue. There was no point in it.
We returned home with only a passing comment from Frau Eberhardt that we were back earlier than usual. Mama walked past as if she hadn't heard her, but I curtsied politely and we hurried back to our apartment. None of us needed reminding this time about the microphones. Mama only announced that the gardening could wait for a day. Today, we would clean and get Fritz packed to leave for the military tomorrow. It was a perfect cover story for our real purposes. I was given the job of cleaning the front room, which I still thought was ridiculous, but I didn't say anything. I couldn't, because any complaint would be overheard, flagged, and reported. So I pretended to be cheery, but compensated by giving my mother irritated looks whenever she passed by. Mama prepared an early supper for us, more of Herr Krause's food, and Fritz and I ate as if it was our last meal. Fritz said my constant hunger was all in my mind, but I noticed he acted the same way, always eating whatever was available in case no food came to us tomorrow. "I'm supposed to be at work tomorrow for my new job," Mama announced, "but I need to go back to Oma Gertrude this evening and make sure she's okay. I might not make it home by curfew, in which case I'll return first thing in the morning." Fritz and I looked back at her and nodded our understanding. The visit wasn't to be sure Oma Gertrude was okay. Mama was going to say goodbye. It would be her last chance to see her mother, ever. As guilty as I had felt for starting the tunnel without Mama's knowledge, I couldn't imagine how she must feel for leaving without being able to bring Oma Gertrude with us. The fact that they were being pulled apart was my fault, and I hoped Mama could one day forgive me for that. Partially to compensate for my guilt, I offered to clean up the kitchen so my mother could get on the road as soon as possible. Besides, I felt more worried than ever because we were so close now, and because I couldn't be at the tunnel tonight. Even if my father survived a collapse of his tunnel, Grenzer officers with their long rifles in hand would be there to greet him at the surface. Mama left as soon as she finished eating. Afterward, Fritz helped me finish in the kitchen and then said he had his own errand to run. It shouldn't have been any of my business where he was going, but I needed to know. It had to be something good to justify leaving me alone on such a dangerous night.
"Claudia,"
he said.
"She's often at the clubs in the evening. I just want to say hello."
Or goodbye. That would probably be a hard conversation, especially since she would never know how final his farewell was. I nodded, and he darted out the door. After he left, it was a very long evening for me. There was nothing more to pack or to clean, and nothing I could concentrate on for more than a few seconds. I thought it might be nice if I had someone to say goodbye to. Anna. But I'd sooner talk to Frau Eberhardt than my former friend. Curfew began when it was dark out, and it was only a few minutes after that Fritz came trudging into the apartment, with his head held low. He looked up at me with heavy eyes and started toward his room. "How did it go?" I was hopeful, though from his appearance I already had my answer. He only muttered,
"I really did love her, Goethe. More than she ever loved me back, apparently."
Only then did I understand his full purpose in going. It wasn't to say goodbye to Claudia. It was to ask her to come with us. I wasn't sure how much Fritz had said, or what promises he possibly could have offered her about their life together. They were both so young. But I knew he still loved her. So that was it then. He had gone to beg Claudia to come with us where they would be free to be together. And she had refused him. Chapter 41. Postponement brings danger. German proverb. Those joining the military were supposed to report for service first thing on the morning of their appointed day. However, since some boys throughout East Germany had to travel into Berlin, they would be accepted at the intake station throughout the day. Fritz hoped the extra hours would buy him time for one final walk to the tunnel. He seemed in better spirits today, or at least he was recovering well enough. During the night, I had listened at his door for any sign that he was upset, but if he was, I didn't hear it. That was how we became in the East, never too happy and certainly never too sad. Compared to most others, I wasn't as good at reining in my feelings. Lately, I was a split of two strong emotions, each fighting the other to control my mood. Today might be the day of our escape, or the day of our arrest. I wasn't sure exactly how to feel, intensely excited or intensely afraid. Mama came home shortly after Fritz, and I finished breakfast and announced to the microphones that she was ill. Despite the weak tone of her voice, just one look at her assured me she was fine. She turned up the radio and then whispered in my ear that she would have to stay inside, at least for the morning. Of course, this was only her excuse to delay going into work. However, it did create one problem. If she was sick, she could not risk being seen on the streets. "Did you talk to Oma Gertrude?" I hated to ask, but I wanted to know. Mama whispered,
"She only wondered why we waited so long. I will see her again, Goethe, somehow."
Mama instructed Fritz and me to go to the tunnel to be sure things were okay, and then to do whatever was necessary to connect them. When that was finished, we were to come home and get her. We would have supper tonight in the West. It was everything I could do not to run to the welcome building. Fritz reminded me more than once to walk slower and to wipe such an eager expression from my face.
"You're like a beacon right now," he said. "All someone has to do is look at you to know you're up to something."
"How do you do it?" I asked. "How can you look so casual on a day like this?"
"Because I know what's at stake if I don't.
Now relax. Be calm."
I was as calm as a blizzard, but tried hard not to show it. That became extra important as we approached the wall. Even from a distance, we heard noise on the other side, barking dogs and the angry voices of the Grenzers. The last thing we needed was to get their attention. "Why are they there?" I hissed. Had the tunnel already collapsed? Were they just waiting for us to show up, walking like fools into the lion's den? Fritz hushed me, and then we pressed against the wall to listen. To be heard above their dogs, the officers were shouting at one another, and every so often we caught their words.
"Water pipes. Leak. West German incompetence. Investigate."
They said nothing about a suspected tunnel, or about anyone's arrest or death. From the little we could gather, they knew water pipes ran through this corridor and blamed the sinking soil on a leak somewhere underground. Perhaps any digging noises they'd heard was also credited to the leaking pipe. But we also caught the word, investigate. They were going to dig down, and when they did, they would discover far more than a broken pipe. Fritz grabbed my arm to reassure me.
"We're leaving this afternoon, Goethe. They probably won't go looking before then."
Maybe not, but it wasn't impossible either. At least the tunnel hadn't collapsed. That was my first thought once we entered. It may have unnerved me the first time I went underground, but now this small dirt corridor was the only place I felt truly secure. The world outside was the dangerous place. That's where the Stasi and Grenzer officers hunted night and day, where gossips and tattlers could destroy lives, and where conversations in the privacy of a home were anything but private. But in this tunnel, nothing bad would happen. Not unless the world figured out we were here. As we got deeper into the tunnel, better news awaited us. Dominic was already over on his side, quietly digging. A small hole had opened up in the clay soil between us. Nothing that any creature larger than a rabbit could squeeze through, but it was a start. If I went all the way down on my stomach, I could see his feet. "Where's Papa?" I asked Dom in a voice no louder than was necessary.
"Still securing the braces. We worked all night."
"There are Grenzers overhead," Fritz said. "They found the sunken area and want to investigate."
"We know," Dom answered. "We can hear their dogs." "So let's dig," I said, getting to my knees. "Let's dig and be out of here before they find us."
"We can't go much further," Dom said. "Papa thinks this last connection is holding the tunnel up, like the bearing wall of a home."
"Then we can't open it?" It was impossible that we should have come so far just to be stopped now. "Let's just try it and see what happens." Dom was always more of a tease, and he was back in that role now.
"Sheesh, Fritz. Has she really gotten that pushy in the last 4 years? How have you managed?
I sat back and folded my arms. Pushiness was a necessary side effect of being the youngest, and I felt like throwing a full-scale tantrum right then to remind them of it. Fritz only chuckled and brushed his hand across the top of my head.
She's worse than you can imagine, Dom. But if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be here.
He was quiet, then said,
I missed you.
There was silence on the other end. Then Dom's voice came in little more than a whisper.
And I missed both of you. Mama, too. Papa's cooking is terrible.
I knelt forward again. So what can we do?
Papa said we have to be patient for another couple of days until the dirt settles.
No, the settling is the problem, I protested. Fritz is supposed to join the military today. If he doesn't...
We can't open this until we know it will hold.
Fritz sounded certain, but just from looking at him, I knew he was every bit as worried as me. He didn't have 2 days left, not even one. Dom continued.
Papa wants you to brace your side of the tunnel. Do anything you can to secure the dirt overhead. Once we're sure both sides are strong, then we'll finish chipping away at the middle. I'll make mortar for the bricks, Fritz said. Goethe, to make it, I need water from the pond.
I was already on my way with the bucket in hand. Chapter 42. Never say there is nothing beautiful in the world anymore. There is always something to make you wonder. Albert Schweitzer, German theologian, physician, and philanthropist. This time when I ducked through the boarded-up windows, I needed to be more careful than ever before. If the ground was being studied on the other side of this wall, I couldn't do anything that would make the watchtower guards take notice of me here. If they hadn't done so already, it wouldn't be hard for them to connect my actions with their sinking ground. So I stuck to my routine when I entered their sights. I loaded the bucket with dirt and then stuffed the sheet over it. My buckets were heavier than they used to be, and I was carrying them better. It was a small thing, but I was proud of it. I glanced back once at the watchtower, as I always did more often than I should. I couldn't see anyone there this time, so maybe they were inside, or maybe they were part of the ground investigation. If so, I hoped that was a good thing. When I turned forward again, I jumped with surprise and almost cried out. Anna was standing there, nearly in front of me. I wasn't sure where she had come from. The only way she could have arrived so suddenly was if she had already been here hiding and watching. Anna had surely seen me come from inside the building just now. She looked as nervous as I felt, with a rigid posture and licking her lips as if we lived in the driest of deserts, but I couldn't understand why. I had everything to lose in this moment, while she only risked losing her clean dress if I decided to push her into the pond, which I was seriously considering.
Can we talk? She asked.
You can talk to me, but I'm not sure who I'm talking back to. My words were bitter and angry. Am I talking to the Stasi right now? Or the Grenzers? The only thing for sure is I'm not talking to a friend. Maybe I never was.
If you won't talk, then will you listen? Anna asked. Because I have things to say. If I don't tell them to you, I will have to tell somebody. Which would you prefer?
Reluctantly, I nodded for her to follow me, and then continued on to the pond. After all, I still had work to do. Anna sat on a rock near the pond and clasped her hands together.
The Stasi visited us after Peter died, she said. They searched our house and found things from the West, innocent things that everyone has, some black market perfume for my mother, a television with its station tuned to the West, and some forbidden books. Nothing we'd purchased, just ones my family still had from the old days. I don't think my parents even remembered we had them, to be honest. The Stasi used those things to blame us for Peter's escape attempt, and said my parents would be arrested for encouraging subversive behavior, and I would be taken away. I dumped the bucket into the pond. It didn't matter that she saw dirt wash into it along with the sheet. As I did, I said, You told me that in his note, Peter took responsibility for his own actions. Didn't they care about that?
I already knew the answer and felt naive for even asking. Of course they didn't care. The Stasi always hunted for the biggest game they could catch. The rest of us were simply their bait.
We begged them for mercy, Anna said. We promised if they let us go, we'd do anything they wanted.
How could you make a promise like that?
What choice did we have? Goethe, tell me honestly, wouldn't you have done the same thing to save your family?
Maybe, probably. Of course I would have, but there was another part to her story, the part I wasn't sure I could stomach.
The Stasi offered us a trade, she said. For the right kind of information, they would erase any files on our family, give us a fresh start. We agreed. We had no choice but to agree. So we started looking and listening and trying to find something suspicious. We told ourselves we were doing the right thing because whoever was breaking the law deserved to be caught.
Then Anna's eyes filled with tears.
I didn't know it would be you, Goethe. Why did it have to be you?
I tried a bluff.
Whatever you think,
I know about the tunnel. I've been there. You saw the dried mud still on my boots when you were in my room.
Something had become lodged in my throat by then, and speaking took effort.
Your parents?
They only know about the gardening. They think you're terrible at it.
But you've told the Stasi?
Not yet. My parents haven't learned anything useful on their own, and so we keep delaying. But the Stasi are getting impatient. They want names. They want arrests. I've already lost my brother. If I don't say something soon, I'll lose my parents, too.
So you'll sacrifice my family to save yours?
My tone was icy, even though it shouldn't have been. I was no saint and couldn't pretend my choices would be any nobler if I were in her situation. And she was right. Her family was innocent of any crimes against the state. Mine was not. But Anna shook her head.
Goethe, to save my parents, I am going to tell the Stasi. Tomorrow. I need you to be gone tonight.
My heart pounded with the impossibility of that. The tunnel isn't finished yet. But Anna replied,
I gave you as much time as I could. Don't you see that all this time I've been trying to protect you? I could have run to them a month ago with my suspicions, but I didn't. I wanted you to give up this crazy plan or turn yourself in and beg for mercy. What do you suppose the Stasi will say when they realize how long I waited to tell them? I'm already going to be in trouble.
I didn't want Anna in any trouble, and the thought of her facing consequences for my crime made me cringe. I never thought about that, I said. Anna, if you're in danger,
just go, but do it today. Be free, Goethe, the way you want to be free.
Come with us, I said.
Be free with us.
My family would never leave, she said. They wouldn't dare, not after the way Peter died.
Tell them it's what Peter would have wanted. I took her hand and gave it a squeeze. In his honor, you should live the life he wanted to have. But Anna pulled her hand free.
Even behind a wall, this is our home. And the wall can't last forever. It will come down one day, and then I want you to be the first to greet me.
I'll be there, I promised her.
And every day until then, I will miss you. Hot tears filled my eyes.
You are my friend, Anna.
I always was, she said, and always will be.
I wanted to hug her goodbye, but she refused it. At first, I thought that was because of how dirty I was, but then she cast an eye toward the watchtowers and said,
We don't say goodbye when they're watching. We only say, see you soon.
So I waved at her as she walked away, but instead of a farewell, I said, Ask yourself why Peter left. Please, Anna, promise me that you will find that answer. She didn't respond or turn around. As she faded into the alley, I wasn't even sure that she had heard me at all. Back in the tunnel, I told Fritz and Dominic about my encounter with Anna. Dominic had plenty to say about her decision to talk to the Stasi tomorrow, but he didn't understand the intimidation of the secret police. Not like Fritz. who merely nodded and said we would find a way out in time. After Fritz mortared the brick we had already brought down, there wasn't much more we could do from our end. It would be several hours before the mortar was dry enough to lift overhead. I offered to dig, just a little, but Dominic said Papa had insisted we not weaken the wall. Neither of us wanted to go home, either. Mama must have been pacing the floor to wonder how things were going here, but I hoped she'd know bad news would carry to her. If there was no news, it meant things were still okay. Dominic spent some of our wait telling us about his life in the West.
"Things between our two countries are much more tense than you probably hear about," he said. "They call it a cold war between East and West. Nobody is firing shots, but each side wants to make the other believe they're ready for World War III if necessary."
"We get some news reports," Fritz said.
"We know about the Cold War."
Dominic chuckled.
"Yeah, but until you see it from this side of the wall, you can't appreciate how much of the battle is about show. Berlin is like this microscope for the rest of the world, because anyone can look at the two halves of the city and so easily compare our lives. Papa says both sides are like two insecure men on a beach, flexing their muscles to prove who's strongest."
I smiled and asked, "Who is the strongest then?" Dominic paused.
"It's hard to say at this point. School is harder in the East, and the communist newspapers always show lots of happy crowds. If you only read their papers, your lives look really good. But I stand on the platforms to see into the East and then turn back to the West and think, where do I want to live? There's nothing, nothing that would take me back there again. We have more things here, and fancier buildings, and music that will knock your socks off. But the difference isn't about any of that. It's just..."
"The wall," I whispered. "If our lives are so good, we wouldn't need the wall."
"Yeah."
Fritz tapped my shoulder.
"Go get Mama. We're leaving tonight."
I sat up. "Really? We'll be able to open this tunnel?"
"We have to open it. Even if we have to run for our lives as the tunnel collapses behind us, we're going to open it tonight."
Fritz turned to where Dominic would be.
"Go tell Father what we're doing. It must be tonight."
We heard Dominic scramble off, and then I said,
"Mama can't leave yet. If she's spotted by someone who knows she called in sick..."
"Then stay with her until this evening. She should be all right to leave then. But be careful. There'll be police hunting for me, and if I'm seen on the streets, I'll be arrested. So you and Mama will have to get yourselves here. Can you do that?"
I swallowed hard. "Yes." Fritz handed me the shovel.
"Go stick this in the dirt outside. If Mueller is watching, we need to give him the signal to come."
I pushed it back to him. "We don't owe Mueller anything. Besides, we still need the shovel in here." He gave the shovel to me again.
"We made him a promise, Goethe. And as far as we can tell, he's kept his end of our bargain. Besides, I have the hand shovel."
I nodded and took it out with me. I stuck it square in the center of our garden patch, where for the first time I noticed sprouts from young squash plants. Maybe they would grow and provide food for some families here. I hoped so. Even at those times when you want to say goodbye, it's still sad when the moment comes. I thought about that as I walked home, how odd it was to realize I might never see this side of the wall again. Wherever I looked before, I had only seen the bland communist gray, but this time I noticed spurts of color on our trees and in decorations that occasionally hung from windows. The approved communist art on the sides of buildings inevitably depicted strength.